Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Good morning, God-fearing, liberty-loving, Christian nationalist, crusader, ultra-mega patriots. Welcome to the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. Good morning, Lady Liberty.
Well, good morning to you, and good morning, everyone out there. Welcome to Wifflebat Wednesday, where we're hitting them dead center today. I'll tell you what.
Oh, yes.
There's never an end to it. We love this job.
Preparing for the challenges ahead, and they are, well, right out the gate. 2024 is pretty much as we expected.
Yep.
The world is, you know, continuing in a spiral. We belong to Him who has already overcome the world. And so, yeah, the resolution, we are moving forward fearless and completely standing by God,
yep,
for His protection, and well, what, you know, whatever comes.
That's right. So, well, and of course, you know, we're looking right at this subject from yesterday, where the South Korean opposition leader and former presidential candidate Lee Jae-myung had been stabbed during a press conference in Busan. They have it right there on video. The guy that's just standing there right in front of him, it looks like he would even be holding a microphone for him to speak into. He actually attacks him with a knife and goes for his neck. And oh my goodness. Well, that right there is an indicator that Xi and North Korea just needed a distraction so that they could go and attack Taiwan, because as we understand it from one of our sources, that Japan's naval force will have to go in and try to defend what's going on in South Korea if something like this were to happen. And sure enough, it happened right during a press conference yesterday.
Yep. Yeah. There's a lot of shaking up going on, you know, all over the place. And, well, we kind of expected that. You know, we've got Russia and what was the other one? Dumping the U.S. dollar. We've got, you know, more countries joining BRICS.
Right.
Saudi
Arabia joined BRICS as well. We were discussing this on our channel. And, you know, what's interesting about this whole thing is 2024 is the year of the dragon in China.
Imagine that.
You know, I mean, that's exactly what is described in Revelations, basically, is that, you know, the dragon goes to war with the woman, right? The woman who has, you know, basically the head of, you know, the whole church, you know, who has the Son of God, right? He goes to war with the woman. And so that's very, very interesting in and of itself.
It's quite a lot of symbology there, and it's not coincidental. It's not accidental.
That's right.
And, you know, here we are with the front row seat to it all. And there's just so much going. My brain is going faster than I can speak.
Right.
With everything going on that I want to spit out. But you know what? Let's go into the word of the day early today.
Yep,
and
let's do it.
Make sure that we're grounded there, because this is the time. This is it, folks. It's on.
That's right. 2024 is different, everybody.
Yep. And you can feel it.
Everything just like went around a corner, and we are in a different world as of today. I'll tell you what. Well, okay. So the word of the day for Wifflebat Wednesday comes to us from a random turning in Luke, which is Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 20. And it reads, "During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he came into all the region surrounding the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every ravine shall be filled up, and every mountain and hill shall be leveled, and the crooked places shall become a straight way, and the rough ways smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. He said therefore to the crowds going out to be baptized by him, offspring of vipers, who prompted you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce then fruits worthy of your repentance, and do not begin to say within yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that God is able out of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. And already also the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not produce good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. And the crowds asked him, saying, what then shall we do? And he answered and said to them, he who has two tunics, let him share with the one who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise. And tax collectors also came to be baptized, and they said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, exact nothing more than what you've been ordered to. And some serving in the military also questioned him, saying, and we, what shall we do? And he said to them, extort nothing from anyone by force, nor take anything by false accusation, and be content with your wages. Now while the people were in expectation, and all were reasoning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might possibly be the Christ, John answered and said to all, I baptize you in water, but he who is stronger than I is coming, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He himself will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire, whose winnowing fan is in his hand to thoroughly cleanse his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn up with unquenchable fire. So exhorting them with many other things also, he announced the gospel to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, because he was reproved by him concerning Herodias, his brother's wife, and concerning all the evil things which Herod did, added this also above all, he shut John up in prison. And that's it. And what's fascinating about all of that is that, well, this is kind of an interesting point that we're at pivotally in the world right now.
Yes.
Where, you know, where John is the example of the perfect Christian in Jesus' eyes.
Right.
Where John is out there saying the truth and speaking the truth and going to the leaders and pointing out, hey, you're not supposed to do that. That is not a moral thing for
That's
you to
right.
be doing.
Calling them out for their sins. And how did they react?
Right, exactly.
They
well,
killed
they,
him.
They killed him. But he was doing exactly as he was supposed to do.
Right.
He wasn't sheepish. He wasn't afraid of anything. He spoke boldly, and he spoke the truth boldly.
Yeah.
And I just love what he said to each of the people that asked him, well, what should we do? I mean, especially the military. I think that was, you know, if you're in the military and you come across John the Baptist,
yes,
who's going to tell you what you're doing right and wrong, that's an excellent question because, you know, his answer that extort nothing from anyone by force,
yep,
nor take anything by false accusation, and be content with your wages. So, you know, there are rules of war even when you're in the military. Don't
There are standards.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't
even for warfighters.
Don't do unethical things in battle just because you're able.
Right.
Don't do those things. And so, you know, it's really interesting
and
because
he also didn't say, well, you shouldn't be in the military. You shouldn't be,
exactly,
training for warfare and violence. No, sometimes that's a necessity.
That's
but
right.
There are standards when you are in that role.
Right. When you're out there leading the charge, for the kingdom of God.
Right.
You don't back down from leaders and let them get away with immoral garbage.
Oh, and they hate it when you do.
Oh, yeah.
Hold them accountable.
Yep, exactly. But he did exactly what he should have done. And it's interesting, too, how he basically says, how he calls them offspring of vipers. Well, and, you know, we're all evil and considered evil until we repent and accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior.
Yes.
And it says here in the Bible notes that the offspring of vipers are the children of the devil, according to 1 John 3:10. And the devil is the ancient serpent, as according to Revelations 12:9. Hence, his children become serpents with the same life and nature that he has.
Right.
And so he's speaking totally correctly when he refers to them as children of vipers.
Yes.
And so, wow, that's an important thing to remember. But I just really liked what he says there to different people who are wondering, well, what should we do? And he tells them just straight out, this is the right thing to do, and that's the wrong thing to do.
Yep.
And yep. So, yep, what an important point. And so just seeing John come on to the scene, is that's exciting business right there.
Yeah, it is. That's going to be a very interesting person to talk to in heaven.
Yes, no kidding.
You know, I would like to actually watch more of his life if we get the instant replay.
Right.
To walk with him on a day-to-day basis, not necessarily when he was just, you know, living in the wilderness like a wild man, but once he started his ministry.
Right.
It would be very fascinating. People were drawn to him. I mean, people even asked when Jesus said, who do people say that I am? And they're like, John the Baptist?
Right.
Like, he had
right.
quite the reputation.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, among the Israelites. So there's so much about his ministry that never got recorded. I'm sure that would be fascinating to see and, yep. and watch.
That's right. Well, especially when he has got the hard line. You know, like we say for Monochromatic Monday, the truth of God is black and white.
Right.
You know, John doesn't waver back and forth. He's not
exactly.
He's not stuck in any gray areas. And in verse 9 where he says, and already also the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not produce good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. And that got yeah. everybody's attention. Everybody sat up straight and went, oh, uh-oh.
Okay.
That's me.
We need to start learning what good fruit is and be that.
And quickly start on that path.
Yes.
Well, I think that's a good warning to all of us as well. You know,
sure.
How close to God can we be? How much can we follow in his ways? How close can we be to him?
It's a contest with ourselves.
Exactly.
How close can I be to him? Not yep. close enough. I got to get closer.
That's right.
Especially now.
Yep. Try now. Harder. Change your heart. Purify your heart. Now's the time.
Ooh, man. Yeah, that's good stuff.
Good stuff indeed.
All right. Well, and once again, the scripture was...
That was Luke.
Luke.
Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 20.
Okay. It's a good one to read, folks. Read it, meditate on it, and I need to go back and reread that so I can absorb it.
Yep, me too.
I can tell you that right now.
That's right, so, and that will be posted on our channel in the resources, of course, for today.
Oh, good deal. All right, well, let's go ahead and take a break. Thank you guys for your support, for helping to keep us on the air. If you want to join the Patriots who are helping support us, because we are listener-supported, go to RadioFreeRedoubt.com, click on the Donate to RFR tab, and find out how you can also support us. And we are in great need of it. So thank you, folks. And we'll be back right after these messages. Stick around. Wars and rumors of wars. Wars and rumors of wars. Wars and rumors of wars.
In 1943, the following directive was issued from party headquarters to all communists in the United States. It read, when certain obstructionists become too irritating, label them after suitable buildups as fascist or Nazi or anti-Semitic, and use the prestige of anti-fascist and tolerance organizations to discredit them. In the public mind, constantly associate those who oppose us with those names which already have a bad smell. The association will, after enough repetition, become fact in the public mind.
When disaster strikes, will you have what it takes to survive? Here at ARC, we offer survival training, medical training, and self-defense classes to help you prepare for the unexpected. Our experienced instructors will teach you practical skills that will allow you to adapt and overcome in any crisis situation. Sign up for one of our training courses today. Your security is your own responsibility. Visit our website at AmericanReconstructionConcepts.com.
Welcome back, Patriots, to segment 2 of the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. Lady Liberty, segment 2, and we've got a couple of cool clips lined up.
Yeah, we sure do. In fact, Since we were talking about that video of the man who was hunting on Monday's show, and how he asked God to let him get close to that eagle,
right?
And God had the eagle land right on his shoulder.
Yeah.
Well, that stood out to me. That is a very important thing to take note of, because we're seeing this same kind of thing happen in Israel against Gaza with the IDF soldiers.
Yes.
And so we have this clip here, this audio clip of one of the stories that came out of there that we felt was so important to share with everyone, because God is afoot right now.
Yes.
We are clearly in the end times and coming upon very, very interesting things, that God is getting closer to us every day, and he doesn't want us to miss the signs of his instruction.
Right.
And so
and they can come in so many different ways and forms.
That's right.
Which is why we really need to have discernment to really tune in to when the Lord's trying to speak to us.
That's right.
And we talked about this a little bit yesterday with some of these. We found the source, by the way, these accounts that are coming out of Israel with IDF forces supernaturally being protected, and supernatural intervention that's saving their lives.
That's
these
right.
Stories are astounding. But this is our God that we worship.
This is who we read about in the Bible all the time.
Right. So these are kind of things that Gideon and Joshua would come back to talk to these modern IDF soldiers and go, oh, that's nothing. You
right?
should have seen, you know, I mean, but our God is still alive. It's the same God yesterday, today, and forever.
And interactive in our daily lives.
Absolutely. Yep. So here's one account. One of the soldiers called into his sister. They contacted this ministry or this Jewish group that is collecting these stories and relaying them. So this is just very cool. Listen to this.
I want to end off and just tell you an unbelievable concept that took place at that time in the War of Gaza. And I heard this. I heard this from my brother, who runs a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael called Yesod, nicknamed Last Stop. Who had actually one of the guys in his yeshiva, who was one of the commanders of a very elite group. And this group was sent into Gaza. And this was a point where Gaza already was cleared out. And the only people remained behind were only the worst and the most dangerous of terrorists. And they were sitting and waiting to continue fighting the war against Israel. And listen to what this commander says. This commander says that he was given the orders to enter a certain block in Gaza. Now, at that time, you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. When a city goes dark and it becomes like a ghost town, and it literally became the battlefield itself, you have to appreciate the fact that there's nothing around, not even the animals. You know, the animals have a sixth sense, and this is studies show this many times, that on the impending danger, they already know that they're running off and they're nowhere to be found. They've seen this by volcanoes. They've seen this by hurricanes, where from the animals and their reaction, they have a sense for danger, impending danger, as even way before it takes place. There was nothing moving in Gaza. No humans, no animals, nothing. And here was this platoon of Israeli soldiers with this commando, the head commander standing in front of the group, entering this empty block. As Israeli intelligence were told that on this block in one of the basements was one of the largest stashes of explosives and C4 that was being used against Israel. And their mission was that they were going to somehow or other infiltrate the block, find out which building, which house, which basement the goods were being stashed, and to be able to take out the terrorists and to be able to detonate and to disarm them from all these explosives. You can imagine what type of mission this was. This was literally a life and death mission. And the commander says over that he hasn't slept in close to 36 hours. And it was hard for him to even see a few feet in front of him. He was constantly blinking, making sure that he had proper vision. And there they entered this empty block. In the front, there was a commander holstering his rifle. Right behind him, there was the man behind him with his hand on his shoulder. Behind him was another man with his hand on his shoulder. Behind him was another guy with his hand on his shoulder. And this is the way they went down the block, arm in arm, one at a time, literally as one unit, as a chain, all linked together, trying to come up with any direction that they may jump out on them. And they walked very quietly down this block. As they started coming down this empty street, the commander suddenly saw something incredible. This white dove comes flying off of the roof of one of the buildings. On a city that the animals have been long gone, this white dove flies right down the middle of the street as if it's coming in front of the commander and his platoon of Israeli soldiers. And then to make matters even more crazy, this white dove lands in midair right in front of the commander's face. And it flaps its wings and hovers right in the air. And the commander's looking at this bird, and he's blinking as if to try to make sure he's not hallucinating. And he knows he hasn't slept in 36 hours, but this doesn't seem right. And the bird literally looks like it's floating in middle of midair. And he just can't make out what's going on. So with the tip of his rifle, he starts leaning forward to nudge the bird with his rifle. And just when he was about to touch the bird, the guy behind him with his hand on his shoulder pulls him back. And that was a sign not to take another step. The commander didn't move. He froze. And then when he took a second look, he saw exactly why. As his eyes refocused, he saw that this white dove wasn't hovering and floating in midair, but rather it landed on a very thin tripwire going right across the entire street. If he would have taken one more step, he would have tripped that wire. Later to find out that that wire was connected to enough C4 and explosives to blow the entire block with all the Israeli soldiers. He looked back at that dove as literally the bird looked back at him. The bird flew off and the entire platoon was saved. We don't know the tripwires that are coming at us this year, but we do know that every time Borei Olam sends us a little white dove that lands on those little dangerous places and screams to us, open your eyes. Look what's happening. Look what's coming at us. This is not a time to be status quo. We need to react. We need to get the wake-up call and the message.
And now, that's just one of several that we have. And, maybe we'll try to share one with you, one a week, or, maybe one
or
two a week.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
But because there's some that are just absolutely unbelievable. I mean, if they weren't true, but they're true.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And plus the fact that, like I'm saying, we are in a new era this year.
Oh, yes, we are.
We came around the corner and things are going to get pretty dicey this year.
Yep.
And so God wants us to know, like we read in Judges last week, that when we go out to battle, He wants us to know that before we go out to battle, to depend on Him, to totally depend on Him and look for His input in everything that we're about to do. Because
that's right.
Because that was what Judges was all about.
Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots. We will trust in the Lord.
That's right.
Just in the last 24 hours, four Hamas leaders were taken out by an Israeli airstrike in Lebanon, now north of Israel, one of the deepest, if not the deepest, strike into Lebanon now. And Lebanon, Hezbollah, they're vowing a return of overwhelming rockets in return.
Right.
So just watch, and we're going to be following this stuff and sharing this with you. Watch God's hand move.
That's right.
Watch His hand intervene. The more they come against Israel, the more this happens, the more we're going to see God act and move. It's going to be this is awesome.
Well, and the thing is, too, is you and I have been watching all of these IDF clips of these very, very effective, efficient IDF soldiers who are all praying to God, praising God, in prayer, and they're singing songs of praise to God both before and after every battle, every skirmish, every time they go into any place. They're singing praise to God before and after, and it's amazing. I mean, their faith, they're wearing their faith every single day right there on their sleeve. It's remarkable.
They're doing literally on their sleeve, their arm wrapped up with the, I can't remember what it's called, but Joshua, if you could bring him forward in to see, he would be proud of the Israelis right now, because this is the kind of stuff that they did in the Bible. They prayed and gave praise to the Lord before going into battle and sought his protection and guidance. Very cool.
Yep.
But, you know, here on the home front, the second one that you've got? Switching gears here a little bit.
Yeah, the second one we've got is a clip from Steve Bannon describing how, you know, he's saying the same thing we are. I mean, I just ran across this clip after, you know, we've already had our discussions, and he's saying the same things that we are. And so go ahead and listen to what he has to say.
Movement is ascendant. They understand this movement's got real power and force in back of it. I think right now, if we don't do something, and that is decapitate leadership, that's one of the reasons they're coming after O'Keefe and Rudy and myself and everybody, and Charlie Kirk with the stories and another hit piece on Charlie. They're trying to decapitate the leadership, figuring that the sheep will just go off. President Trump has to be very careful. There are forces out there, dark forces out there, that have made a decision. That decision is that Donald J. Trump, regardless of what votes say, will never return to the White House in control, because they understand once he gets back in, it's game over,
right?
The taking on the deep state, his knowledge base today, the knowledge base of people around him. That's why my number one projection for 2024 is nobody knows nothing, right? We have no earthly idea how this is going to turn out, except you have a irresistible force meeting, you know, a massive resistance. And so this is going to collide. And remember, there's no negotiating, right? What we demand on the return to the original American Republic is non-negotiable. What they've done and what they've done is non-negotiable to them. So that's where we are. One side's going to win and one side's going to lose. And they, for the first time, you can smell the fear.
That's it right there. The left can smell, you can smell the fear on them. They're afraid of this giant awakening.
They sure are.
And organizing, yeah.
And that's another important statement that he made there was, there's no negotiating in the return to the natural republic in
this
nation.
That's it.
No negotiating.
There's no other alternative.
That's right.
All in and win.
That's right.
Okay, guys, you be blessed out there. Join us tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. We look forward to talking to you then.
That's right. You all have a wonderful Wifflebat Wednesday, and blessings to all of you Christian patriots out there.